Serbia. After a legal fight that continued for almost 4 years, the Serbian Ministry of Religious Affairs finally entered Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian religious community, into the Register on Churches and Religious Communities in Serbia. Until then, the ministry had refused 3 applications for registration, although groups of international Bible students, as Jehovah's Witnesses were once known, have been present in the region since the early 1920s. However, after the Serbian Supreme Court made 2 positive decisions in our favor, the Ministry of Religious Affairs granted the request for registration. In the past, adversaries, with the help of the media, often tried to paint Jehovah's Witnesses as a dangerous sect. Registration as a legal religious community will no doubt help sincere people in Serbia to see that Jehovah's Witnesses are good citizens who respect the law and do not pose any threat to the community or to individuals. As the first positive result of this registration, Bible literature and other items used in connection with the meetings and preaching can be imported without paying any customs or taxes. Slovenia. On November 27, 2009, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Religious Community, was entered in the Register of Churches and Other Religious Communities that is kept by the Government of the Republic of Slovenia. The director of the government's Office for Religious Communities informed our representatives that out of 40 religious organizations and groups in Slovenia, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Religious Community, was the 8th to re-register successfully under the new Religious Freedom Act. This registration will enable full-time ministers to receive certain benefits afforded by the government to all those who perform religious activities on a full-time basis. Turkey. Jehovah's Witnesses in Mersin have been using their Kingdom Hall for some 20 years. Then, in August 2003, it was sealed by the authorities on the basis of a violation of a zoning law. Despite the brothers' efforts to resolve the issue by appealing to the courts, on December 30, 2009, Turkey's highest court rejected the appeal in favor of the Mersin governor's office. An application has now been filed with the ECHR. Brotherly Love in Action in Haiti. On January 12, 2010, a powerful earthquake devastated Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, and surrounding areas. Hundreds of thousands were killed, and many more were displaced. Several thousand of Jehovah's Witnesses lost their homes, and 154 lost their lives. Many others were seriously injured or had narrow escapes. A cloak was at home when the quake struck. Walls buckled, and blocks tumbled like dominoes, pinning him between the floor and the collapsed ceiling. He was not seriously hurt, though, and began feeling around in the darkness with his hands. "I felt the side of a water bucket," a cloak recalls. "It would not budge, but I could dip my fingers into the water and bring a few drops of water to my lips. I also found a loose stone to tap with, hopefully to draw attention to my plight." He began praying for help and kept tapping with the stone and waiting. "I had no watch and no idea what time it was," says a cloak. "At first, I wept and begged Jehovah to rescue me. But as time passed, my prayers changed. 'I know you will resurrect me,' I prayed, 'but I'm a young man. If I don't die, I can go on serving you.'" Gradually, a cloak felt his life ebbing away, and eventually he lost the strength even to tap with the stone. Then he passed out. When a cloak regained consciousness, witness rescuers were trying to break through to him. "Suddenly, the concrete fell away by my leg," he relates. "I realized that the next blow would strike my knee, so I reached through the opening in the dark and grabbed the rescuer's arm. Soon, a cloak was free. He had been under the rubble for 4 days. Prompt relief efforts. Within 24 hours of the quake, the first witness doctor arrived from the Dominican Republic branch. He was followed by a steady stream of witness medical and relief personnel, along with donated materials. A field hospital was quickly set up on the branch property, where more than 1,000 witnesses and non-witnesses received treatment. Among the patients were two young women, both of whom had lost their right arm. "Like all the other single patients who lost limbs," recalls Milan, a volunteer at the branch, "they worried that they would never be able to marry or have a family." Milan therefore contacted a sister she knew in France who, as a child, had lost an arm in a car accident and asked her to encourage the two women. The sister in France emailed photos of herself with her husband and two beautiful children. Seeing them brought much comfort to the two young patients, who are now adapting well to their new circumstances. Besides food, clothing, and medicines, survivors urgently needed housing. Witness volunteers from Haiti and abroad designed and built more than 1,700 temporary dwellings to provide shelter from the rain and a measure of security for witness families whose homes had been destroyed. By June, the relief teams had begun erecting temporary kingdom halls, and in July, authorities issued the first building permits for permanent kingdom halls to be constructed. Physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. In March, a witness doctor who specializes in treating post-traumatic stress disorder met with the elders of the 115 congregations affected by the quake. The doctor provided the elders with practical suggestions on giving spiritual support to the emotionally traumatized members of their congregations. Thereafter, the doctor met individually with more than 100 brothers and sisters who needed specialized treatment. Shortly after the quake, David Splane of the governing body traveled to Haiti to provide comfort and encouragement. Brother Splane, who speaks French, addressed the brothers at a circuit assembly and met with the Bethel family, missionaries, and circuit overseers. All deeply appreciated his loving concern and the tender care of the governing body. Despite what appeared to be insurmountable obstacles, the New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures in Haitian Creole was completed, printed, and shipped to the branch. The new Bibles arrived just hours before they were to be released at the district convention in July. Throughout the fast-moving events of 2010, from the initial relief efforts until now, everyone involved has seen and felt Jehovah's constant guidance and support in ways great and small. Over and over, needed supplies, transportation, and personnel all came together at just the right time and in ways that were too perfect to have been merely coincidental. In the words of one longtime missionary, "You had to be here to appreciate how clearly Jehovah's hand was in evidence." Branch dedications bring glory to God. February 13, 2010 was an unforgettable day for Jehovah's Witnesses on the Solomon Islands. Stephen Lett, a member of the governing body, gave the dedication talk at the new branch facilities there. Among the 368 in attendance was the first local witness, Clement Fabasua. A month earlier, an open house was held for those who live in the vicinity of the new branch facilities, and 273 persons were given a tour. One of the visitors, an architect, wrote in the leading national newspaper, "Overall, the total branch facility gets a triple A. It serves as a model for the Solomon Islands community to see what can be done here, regardless of who the designated user may be. The designer, the conglomerate labor force, and the current administrators could be said to have created a jewel in paradise." A memorable dedication program was held at the Estonia branch on Saturday, April 3, 2010. The 438 in attendance thoroughly enjoyed the program, which included the dedication talk by Christian Muntian from the Greece branch. A two-story building located on a piece of property adjacent to the branch had been purchased from the local water company. The remodeled building contains audio and video studios, as well as a classroom for schools, such as the Bible School for Single Brothers. The branch in neighboring Latvia enjoyed its dedication program on April 10, 2010. After the good news was first preached in Latvia in 1918, our work experienced decades of stiff opposition. Now, though, the preaching work is thriving in Latvia, and 248 delegates from 9 countries were present with the local brothers and sisters to hear Christian Muntian give the dedication talk. On Saturday, May 8, 2010, more than 2,200 enjoyed the dedication talk given at the Paraguay branch by Garrett Lisch of the governing body. A 32-room residence and a new office complex were built, and the present residence was repaired and remodeled. In addition, a 10,000-gallon subterranean water tank was constructed. From the outset, local authorities have been very pleased with the quality of work done by the international and local volunteers. One official commented that there had been many problems with other religious buildings, but that Jehovah's Witnesses had a reputation for doing everything correctly. As a result, it was never difficult to obtain the building permits for the branch construction. At the Papua New Guinea branch, on Saturday, May 29, 2010, nearly 500 brothers and sisters from 12 countries gathered to hear the dedication talk delivered by Winston Payne from the Australia branch. The expanded branch facilities include a 4-story building with bedrooms, dining room, kitchen and laundry, a services building with a kingdom hall, and a spacious translation office. The audience included a group of witnesses who walked 6 days over rugged mountains to attend the event. The group dressed in traditional Arakaiva clothing and warmly welcomed the other visitors with dance and song. With tears in her eyes, one longtime sister expressed the feelings of many when she said, "Today I feel as though I am already in paradise." Keep bearing much fruit. There can be no doubt that the united efforts of Jehovah's Witnesses continue to glorify God. "My Father is glorified in this," said Jesus, "that you keep bearing much fruit and prove yourselves my disciples." John 15:8. With Jehovah's blessing and loving direction, they will, as stated at Colossians 1:10 and 11, endeavor to walk worthily of Jehovah to the end of fully pleasing Him, as they go on bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the accurate knowledge of God, being made powerful with all power to the extent of His glorious might, so as to endure fully and be long-suffering with joy.